Is daf lamed tes. So let's take it from lamed chesem and beis. It's almost 10 lines up. It's just as I said before, it's kedai to go through the brisa again. So the gemara had been saying before about this inyan of whether or not certain dinim require the taon kibus washing. If you have some blood stains on the begadim, will you have to wash it out or not? So the gemara had said that. With regards to there are four matanos, four sprinklings for the carbon chatas. So the first one had all the dinim, zars, chayv, and pigul. But then the remaining three, there were some dinim that we viewed it as tchilas zrika, and some dinim they were more like shiraim, where not all the halachas would apply. So the Gemara had a whole brisa. So one of the things that we said that applied, that did apply to the last three, is that taon kibus, that you require having to wash it. So if some of the blood from the last three sprinklings were got stained some baggage, you have to wash it. So the Gemara now quotes Amar Papa, Papa Amina, how do I know that the blood of the last three sprinklings, taon kibus, that you have to wash such blood? So the Gemara explains, Amar Papa Amina, Aminala, how do I know this? It's not in the Mishnah. Tells us that Mishnah nitaz min hatzavar al habeged eino taon kibus. Let's say some of the blood splatters from the neck of the cow onto a beged. That doesn't require kibus. Min hakeren, after you already put it onto the keren of the mizbeach, or min hayesod, you already put it onto the yesod around the mizbeach, eino taon kibus. Those cases don't require kibus. When do you require kibus? Only in the case where you caught the blood and then it fell from that cup, from that kli, onto a beged, does it require taon kibus? But if it never made it to a kli, it was from the neck, or already did its chiv of it being sprinkled, or the yisod of shirayim, then it doesn't require kibus either. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara now is medayik, but min haroi lekaren, if it was caught, and roi had the potential to be thrown onto the karen, but it hadn't yet been thrown, it's in the kli still, and then stained something, that's the one case where you taon kibus. You do require washing the clothing, washing the stain out. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, according to your logic and your diuk from the word mina karen below mina roi lekaren, so the Gemara says, mina yesod eino taon kibus. The Mishnah says that if it fell onto the yesod, you already did the shirayim, you poured the leftover blood onto the yesod around the mizbeach, we can make the same diuk. So only mina yesod eino taon kibus, but ha mina roi yesod taon kibus. And that which remains, so that after you've sprinkled the four sprinklings, so the remaining blood is called shirayim. That's roi liyasod. It's supposed to go to the yasod. So the Mishnah says only if it went to the yasod and it then stained something does not require kibbutz. But if it's only roi, it's a stage before, right before you did the pouring, the shvicha shirayim, then it would require kibbutz. Is that really true? So the Gemara says, it quotes the pasuk, that asher yiza, that which you sprinkled. Ksiva prat lezeshe kfarhu. Only that which you're about to do the sprinkling, but that which you already did sprinkle, and meaning it's now after the sprinkling, and now the blood remains in the cup as roi liyasod, it's roi leshvicha shirayim. So in that case, we would say it's pater, doesn't require kibus. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rabbi Nechemia, who's going to be this? You're going to tell me Rabbi Nechemia, who gives a lot of strength to the Indian of Shirayim, that even though normally we assume Shirayim is nothing, Rabbi Nechemia holds the Tanan, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Shiyari Hadam, Shekrivan Bechutz Chayiv. We know there's an Indian of Shchute Chutz and Mala Bechutz, the person's Chayiv Kareis for all these things. So let's say a guy does Shirayim Bechutz. Are you Chayiv? Rabbi Nechemia thinks, yes, Shirayim is considered a significant enough avodah to be Chayiv for Shchute Chutz or Shirayim Bechutz. So he must be the one who here holds as well, that if you have shirayim ready to be spilled, that it's taon kibus, it requires kibus. Would you really say that, though? So the Gemara says, Eimer d'shmasle le Rabbi Nechemia linin halah. Granted, we have a mefurish Mishnah, Rabbi Nechemia says that shirayim is significant in regards to being chai for doing this outside. Midi dehavi evarim upra bedarim. Just like those limbs that if they were to do it outside, it'd be chai of kares. But in kibus mishmasle, do we have anywhere where Rabbi Nechemia says that has the same din with regards to having to wash out a stain of the shirayim? Who knows? Maybe shirayim only has a din with regards to shchudei chutz, but no halachic significance with regards to kibus. So there is no raya. So just like get a dik from the halacha of min ha yisod, rather min ha karen, velo min ha roi le karen, So you maybe have the same dig from the Yesod, Miyasov lo min arayi l'Yesod, but that conclusion is not conclusive. And maybe the whole dig is incorrect, in which case we don't have any mefurish Mariah, that's something that is supposed to be roi l'keren, that's supposed to be sprinkled, is necessarily chayiv in kibbutz. That itself is quite confusing. So the Gemara says, in, we do have a raya that Rabbi Nechemya holds, just like Shiraim is chayiv in shchut echutz, he also holds that Shiraim would require ta'on kibbutz. What's the raya? V'hatanya b'nichusa, not as a question, but as a so as a support. The Gemara says in Laman Tesna, today's daf, damim hatu'unin yesod tu'unim kibbutz. Those that require yesod, meaning shirayim, that go onto the yesod of the mizbech, that bottom foundation of the mizbech, they also require kibbutz. So it's the mefurish mishnah, or mefurish brayse rather, and also machshava mo'elas ben, if they have a pigel machshava during the pouring of the shirayim, it's also considered a machshava, a pigel, this opinion. And also amala ben mechutz, the chayiv, those who do the shirayim outside is chayiv, the damim hanishpachan l'ama, but as opposed to the damim that are tuned in yesod, as opposed to the blood of shirayim that required the yesod, the blood that doesn't require yesod rather goes to the ama, which was that little sewer that ran down the center of the Azara where you pour out all the waste, go down there, that has no significance, ein ton kibbutz, ein machshav mo'elas ben, v'amala ben mechutz, pater. So Gemara says, who authored this brisa? Man d'shmasle d'amr ma'alaben b'chutz chayv. Who is the one, the das yachad, who holds that one who pours shirayim outside is chayv? It's Rabbi Nechemya. And in the same brisa list, not only does he say you're chayv on ma'alaben b'chutz by shirayim, he also says in the brisa, v'kamar ton kibbutz. So this is the raya, so that this is the point, that Rabbi Nechemya is the author of the one who says ma'alaben b'chutz is chayv, you're also ton kibbutz. So the Gemara now says as follows. Umachshava mo'elas ben, wait a second. If you're telling me the brisa we just quoted here, the top line that damim hatu'unin is referring to shirayim, so the brisa said one of the halachas are, not only does it require machshava, but and ma'al v'chut is chayiv, rather, not only does it require kibbutz, but also ma'al v'chut is chayiv, but there's a third halacha. Machshava is mo'elas ben, pigel will ruin the shirayim, will pass the karbon. But is that really true? Machshava mo'elas ben, machshava could affect shirayim? Even Rabbi Nechemya would agree to that? V'atanya, doesn't the Braisa say, and this seems to be according to all opinions, that when is machshava pasul kohen? When a regular during Zrika? But yatsu shirayim v'aktaras emurin shem akvinis kapara. But if it's a stage of the karbon where it's not ma'akevus as a kapara, it's not significant in helping the person achieve kapara, like shirayim, then ein machshava ma'elas behen. So we see the brayse above, even though it says damim hatu'unin yesod, it sounds like it's talking about shirayim. It can't be, because shirayim isn't subject to machshava, it's not subject to pigel. So what's going on? We don't have a raya yet that shirayim requires kibbutz. So Gemara says, kitani ahi, that brayse, this is where it's all confusing now, the brisa above here, where it says damim hatu'unim, it says really kitanya hi b'shalosh matanos shebechatas. When it says damim ta'unim yisod, it's not referring to the shirayim that's left over after all the sprinkling's been done. It's referring to the three sprinklings, the three final ones. Just to review again, nechatas requires four zrikos, four matanos. The first one is the most crucial, it's essential, it's ma'akev. The remaining three, the shlosh matanos, the additional ones, those are also to a certain extent called shirayim, the leftover matanos, and that's what it's referring to, whereby those three sprinklings require kibbutz, the chayiv v'chutz, and also machshava mo'elas behem. So Gemara says, wait a second, how could you say they're referring to shlosh matanos shvechatas? The Braisa says, I hachi tu'unin yesod lekeren azlu. You can't define them as damim that require the yesod, because they actually have to go on the keren. They don't go on the yesod, they go on the keren. So the Gemara tweaks the brayse above and says, Ema nitanin yesod, that they're more of a passive way. That the three sprinklings, they go on the keren, but the remaining part, the remaining blood after those matanos, would then go on the shirayim. So rather on the yesod. There's shayach to the yesod. So even though the three matanos require the keren itself, they're nitin, they're somehow affected, they somehow have what to do with the shirayim after you've already done the sprinklings. So that whole brisa above has nothing to do with shirayim, it only talks about those three additional matanos of the chatas. So then the Gemara says, umachsheva mo'elas behen? But is it really true? So now that you're telling me the brisa above here in the very top of Lamed Tes is not talking about shirayim, Rather, it's talking about those three additional matanos. So now just plugging everything in. Those shalosh matanos, we say tu'unim kibas, require washing. And we also say machshava is mo'eles ben. The Kohen has a pigal machshava during those three sprinklings, it would affect it, it would pasul. But can that be true? U'machshava mo'eles ben, does it affect the three matanos? Ha'amris, we saw on just yesterday's daf, before, I read this right before what I started from earlier, lo sharya, lo mefalga, lo aila lagaben kesofam. We said those three matanos, those three additional matanos, were in some effect, three ways they were similar to that first Rika, and three ways they were similar to Shirayim. They were somehow a hybrid of the first Rika of Chatas and the Shirayim. So how are they similar to Shirayim, these three matanos? In that they don't permit the person to eat a koed, to the basar. You don't need the three matanos for the Kohen to eat the basar. Number two is it's not subject to pigel, which is our concern. And number three is if you bring them inside the panimi, further into the base of Mikdash, it doesn't disqualify it. But we see here that the three matanos are not subject to pigel. So we can interpret the brayse on top here that's referring to shalosh matanos, because that too is not subject to pigel. Ella, the Gemara finally says, you know the brayse on top is talking about Ella kitanya hahi bedamim ha-penimim. We know there are kabanos that require going inside the base of Mikdash, and the paroches on the Zbeach ha-penimi, very different halachas than the kabanos that are on the Zbeach ha-chitzom. A whole other category here. Medamim ha-penimim. When it comes to damim ha-penimim, these things are subject to ton kibos machshava me'eles bahen. So the Gemara says, but now you're telling me, we're talking about damim ha-penimim, so now you're telling me, so when it comes to dam hachitzon, the blood that goes on the outside mizbeach, so then it would be pater from the halachas of pigel. So now that's going to deal with another problem. It's going to present a different shiloh. So Adatani, the Brice above said, now that we know it's talking about mizbeach ha-pnimim, dam ha-pnimim, and it made a distinction, so it said between damim ha-tunim versus damim nishpach la'ama, which was poured down to the waist. But now, why didn't the Brayse address a third category? There are really three categories of blood. There's dam ha-penimim, there's dam la'ama, there's also dam ha-chitzoni, the blood that goes on the outside of the mizbeach. How come that Brayse ignored that third category? And the Gemara goes on to explain. So it said, my pater, adetani dam ha-nishpach la'ama, from the fact that the Brayse was in the business of making distinctions, it says, that's opposed to dam ha nishpachin la'ama, where none of these halachas apply. Liflog v'lisne, why didn't it make another distinction, a distinction that would have been more relevant, b'didei, within the world of karbanos? We have the distinction, b'med, b'marmurim, when is all true, b'dam ha p'nimim, aba b'dam ha chitzonim, the halacha would be that's pater from the shchut echutz and machshava. Why didn't the Brayse make such a distinction? That's going to raise some red flags here. So the Gemara ends up saying, Hamani, who is this Rabbi Nechemya? He, Damar Shiari Hadam Sheikriva Mechutz Chayiv, V'lo Masi Leit Tlasa Pturi Lebahadi Tlasa Chiyuva. So what's going on right now? You couldn't make that distinction. You're right. According to the way we paskin against Rabbi Nechemya, we would say that the Brayse should have made the distinction. When is it the Dam subject to Kibbutz and Machshava and Malah B'chutz Chayiv, Damim HaPinimim? The Damim B'chutz, according to us, would be Pater in all those. That would have been a very good distinction. But you know who authored the Brayse? Rabbi Nechemya. He doesn't say it would be Pater in all three. It would be Pater in two of them. That Shirayim would be Pater in Kibbutz, it would be Pater in Machshava, but it would be Chayiv in Pigel, and that wouldn't be very symmetric. We want to have symmetry in the Brayse, a case at three are Chayiv, a case at three are Pater. But the Damim B'chitzoni, according to Rabbi Chaim, it wouldn't be symmetric. It would be two Pater, one Chayiv. It would throw us off, and for that reason, they did not address Dam HaChitzonim in that Brayse. So what comes out in the end of the day in that Brayse above, it is talking about Damim HaPnimim, nothing to do with Damim B'chutz. And now we get, I don't want to go back if they're still holding in the whole flow here, we never answered the question beforehand of the Shita of we're looking for the source at Taun Kibbutz. That was part of the challenge here. You have to go back to follow the whole flow here. Fine. So Gemara now says, comes along now Ravina. Ravina Amar, the whole question from that Brayse was all incorrect. The whole question you had, the whole premise of this whole discussion was incorrect. Because what did it say in the Brayse? The Brayse said that the Papa wanted to bring a raya. How do we know that the three matanos require kibbutz three matanos of chatas, or the three extra matanos require kibbutz, because the Braisa says that which came in that keren, that went onto the keren already, and then they have sprinkled onto the bag, it doesn't require kibbutz. But we learned, but if it was a royal keren, it was supposed to be, it's about to be thrown onto the keren, prior to Zrika, all those three matanos would be taun kibbutz. That was the diuk. We said, but wait a second, make the same dig by the Shirayim. It says, only that which fell onto the Yesod, if it already went to the Yesod, and then sprinkled onto someone, it fell onto someone, it doesn't require kibbutz, but min ha'royal Yesod, if it was supposed to be Shirayim, supposed to be poured, that would require kibbutz. That was our whole question. No one requires kibbutz by Shirayim. We didn't have to bring a raya. So Ravina says that was an incorrect dig to make. Ravina says now, back to Lamed Tes, now Ravina Amar, min ha'keren mamish, Mina Yesod, Mina Royal Yesod. You're not making, doesn't the dik doesn't have to be the same. It can't be that way. So what's Ravina saying exactly? So look at Rashi, Ravina, he explains this clearly. Ravina Amar, it's on halfway down the narrow lines here. Ravina Amar, Hade Parach Tele'el, that what you asked above, Ula Ta'amech, according to your logic here, Mina Yesod Hu De'enotan Kibbus, but Ha Mina Royal Yesod does require Kibbus? That we said, but Shirayim never, we don't find anywhere that Shirayim requires Kibbus. That was the whole question. La pirchi, that is not a correct question. The mina keren means mina keren mamish kamar. Ha mina roy le keren kigon shalosh matano shibachatas taun kibbutz k'der papa. The dig by keren was correct. That which went on mamish the keren that doesn't require kibbutz, but that which is before the stage roy le keren does require kibbutz. That was a horaya that the three matanos which are roy le keren requires kibbutz. That was a correct dig. But hadith not behumina yesod, but with respect to the yesod, the dik on the word that fell to the foundation, la mina yesod mamish, when it said, if it fell onto the yesod, doesn't require kibbutz, it didn't mean it mamish fell to yesod. That actually meant in the Mishnah, that which is supposed to fall in the yesod, meaning shirayim, which is royally yesod, doesn't require kibbutz. So we're interpreting the words mina karen and mina yesod differently in the very same Mishnah. Mina karen means min mamish mina karen, it already actually went on the karen, and mina yesod means roy, that's supposed to go on the yesod. That's the explanation of Ravina, and there's no kasha.
So while you're sprinkling on the karen, if it bumps off, that's when it requires kibbutz?
No.
Once you finish your sprinkling on the kronos, then it's all right to shirayim, and that becomes whether you support it or not.
Now, there are two different things here. One is the blood that goes on the karen, and the blood that remains in the kos. So if I have the blood on the kos that I caught, so before I sprinkle it, even the three, any blood that falls out before that is royal ton kibbutz. Once I sprinkle it, so the blood that falls onto the karen, and let's say it ricochets and hits someone else, that doesn't require, that's already after the point. But the blood that remains in the kos, that's called shirayim. And that's roy liyasod, that also doesn't require. So the only thing that does require is the blood in the coast before you've done all the zrikos. That's the only time. Or while, I guess, before it hit the karen, though. But once it hit the karen, if it ricochets off the karen to someone, that's already after the fact, that doesn't require ton kibbutz.
The whole thing, it's the first quarter, no? Isn't that the
ikr? So that's ikr in terms of kapara. But with regards to ton kibbutz, all four matanos require. So then the Gemara says, well, Ravina, come on, you can't say this. I mean, it's very strange to say that Karen means mamish Karen, and so means only Roy Yisod. So the Gemara asks this question, Amar li Rav Tachlifa, by Gazel, Ravina, Ema, Idiv Idi Roy, who maybe both should be interpreted as a Roy, not only Ma Karen, but maybe even this blood I'm holding, that's only Roy. Also, that should be interpreted in the Mishnah, that Min Roy la Karen, Eino Ton Kibbutz, in which case, this would prove the opposite, that the Shalosh Matanos don't require any ton kibbutz. If we say Karen, maybe also doesn't mean Karen mamish. Maybe means even Roy le Karen is also exempt from kibbutz. So Gemara says, "My hashta Roy le Karen amris lo Roy le Yisod mibay." So there's a kal v'chomer the Gemara is going to say it's not going to make any sense here. That it has to be this way. I'll read the kal v'chomer and Rashi explains this. Rashi says, last two narrow lines here. Roy le Karen Amrislav. If we say that we're interpreting the word Mina Karen now as Roy le Karen, only that it's Roy, it's supposed to get that, meaning I'm holding the blood before I sprinkled it, and even from that point, it doesn't require kibbutz. If that's the new interpretation, Mishanasa Matana Rishona, once I give the first Matana, Mima Etes Lechuli Dam Michibas, all the remaining blood, even before doing the last three sprinkles, they're all potter, So then, if Raila Karen doesn't require Kiba, so certainly Raila is sowed, which at a later stage, certainly that doesn't require either. So why would the Mishnah mention it? Mishnah should just say, Raila Karen doesn't require Kibas, and certainly Karen. Rather, certainly Yisod doesn't require Kibas. The fact that they mention Yisod and Karen separately indicates they can't be interpreted as both Roy, and they also both can't be Mamish. So we're stuck with saying that's why Ravina was compelled to say Ela Mina Karen means Mina Karen Mamish, and Mani Yisod Mina Roy Yisod. This, of course, always becomes a debate where there's text versus logic. In terms of text, it's hard to read this in, but in terms of logic, the Gemara says there's no other way to interpret it, so we feel comfortable changing that Karen means Karen Mamish, while Yisod means Roy Yisod. Okay, the rest of the daf is much shorter and easier. We're now quotes from the Mishnah. Koha Nitnin Al Mizbeach HaPnimi, so the Mishnah had said, all that which is placed in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Im Chiser Achas, if you're missing just one of them, it's not a kapara. When it came to the karbanos that go Pnimi into the inner Mizbeach, while the outer Mizbeach, one would be sufficient. A Karban Chathas requires four L'chachila, but if you only ever did one, you've gotten your kapara. But the Karban HaPnimi is that which goes in, that requires all four, and if you're missing any of them, you have to do everything all over again. Where wants to know, how do you know this? What's the source? Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, there's a passage in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra where it talks about all the different karbanos hapnimim, such as a parhelm davar. Parhelm davar is when the Beis Din makes a incorrect hara, but they made a hara, and we ended up acting upon it, so acted on it, we go ahead and bring a parhelm davar on behalf of Am Yisrael. So the Gemara goes on to say, quotes of Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, v'asa kasher asa, they did whatever they needed to do. So this is Rashi explains here the whole background. You can read this inside if you like, but he pretty much says by the Parhelm Davar, the Pasuk tells you everything that has to take place, tells you all the different details. And then it says afterwards, V'asa kasher asa. Well, we know that already because they told us what has to be done. So what's being learned out from the extra Pasuk, Asa kasher asa? It's coming to tell me, Ma ba lilma, what's it going to learn or read about lilamid? What's it coming to teach us it should be? Lichpol b'hazasa, it's coming to repeat hazasa. Veloma velime to teach us sheim chiser achas mikol matanos loasa veloklum. We have a yisod we saw a few times already in Maseches Zvachim in Seder Kachim. We have the concept v'shana lava kasev. When the pasuk repeats something in the context of karbanos, it means it's la'akev. So the asa kasher asa is a superfluous statement telling me that if you're missing any of the action, any of the ma'isim of the karbanos hapnimim, like the parlam davar, it's ma'akev. That's the source. That at least parlam davar, if you're missing a kapar, missing a chat, missing a matana, it's ma'akev. So Gemara says, "Ainly ela matan sheva shemakvos b'chol makom." I only know that when it came to the parlam davar, you have to put seven sprinklings on the parochas. So I only know that's ma'akev because the seven sprinklings are always ma'akev in any other context. But what about matan dalad minayin? The four sprinklings that you take the parlam davar. After you do seven sprinklings on the parochas, you go to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner one, the Mizbeach HaKtoris, also Mizbeach HaZav, all the same Mizbeach. You do four sprinklings on the four corners, a small Mizbeach with a coin which stand over it, and just sprinkle on top of it. How do I know that's Ma'akev as well? Because Rashi points out, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer Mizbeach, which also has four corners, that's not Ma'akev. So using that as a model, four corners normally is not Ma'akev. How do we know four corners for the Mizbeach HaPnimi is Miakev? So Gemara says, because there's another pasuk that's extra. It says, Tamalomer, Kenya Aseh. This pasuk here by Parlam Davar has all these extra psukim here. So it says, Kashir Asa, it says, Kenya Aseh Lo, to tell me that all these dinim of Karban HaPnimim are Miakev. So then the Gemara says, the pasuk also says the word Lepar. What's the par coming to teach me? The whole pasuk's extra. That comes to include the Par Yom HaKippurim. Rashi says we're going to find out, not today, but maybe tomorrow, what aspect of Yom Kippur is it referring to, because we know Yom Kippur, everything's ma'akev, it says the word chukah. Chukah says everything Yom Kippur is ma'akev, so what's being included here that's not already included in Parshas Achrimos, that the Gemara is going to address in a different daf. Then the Gemara says on the top of Lamentes Amud Beis, what do we learn from the pasuk of Kasher Asa Lapar, that which you did to the par, this is also an extra statement here. We learn Zepar Kohen Mashiach. When the Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen who's been anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, the Kohen Gadol, who doesn't have Veira, good memories from Maseches Horios. So that too, all the things that he requires to do, if you're missing any of them, it's actually Ma'akev from the pasuk Kasher Asa Lapar. Then what is it learned from the pasuk HaChatas? Again, this is all in the context of Parhelam Davar. What's the word chathas doing? It's extra. Elu si'irei avodas kochavim. the person who violates Avodah Zarah has to bring these various goats. So that too, if you're Ma'akev, you have to bring it inside. It's considered a carbon apnimi. You put it on the parochas, you sprinkle the parochas, you sprinkle them bezveach apnimi. This too is subject to anything that's lacking is Ma'akev. Yachal, so then the Gemara says, one may think, Yachal shani mar be'af sirei regalim sirei shechadashim. These also have goats. These are also maybe things that are mizbeach hapnimi. Maybe these also are ma'akev if you're missing one of the sprinklings. Tamalomar lo. Lo is to it, excluding something else. We use the word lo to exclude sirei regalim and sirei rashi chadashim. So Gemara then asks, well, Maraisa, the rabbi says, Elu, the Lot says, Elu, why do you draw the line here? Maybe you should have included Siri Rosh Hashanah and exclude Siri Avodah Zarah. Why are you cutting, breaking it up in this direction? And the Gemara answers, Achashariba Kasavu Umiyat. Once we know one pasuk includes, one pasuk excludes, then the logic is, Marbani es Elu Shemechapern Alavera, Averis Mitzvah. Yedua, it makes sense to include something as mechaper on a known avera, as opposed to and motzi. I would exclude on the as elu she'em mechaperim avera mitzvah yedua, because when it comes to the seirei rosh chadashim and the seirei avo and seirei regalim, remember back the first mishnah masechah shavuos, a very long mishnah of tumas mikdash v'kadashiv about the guy knew he didn't know he knew the mikdash, he knew he was tamei, didn't know he was tamei. A lot of things, something we didn't know all the different factors, something wasn't yedua. So it makes sense, if you're going to have requirements, restrictions, it makes more sense to have more restriction on that which is a vada avera than that which is not a vada avera. And therefore we're excluding Sirei Regalim and Sirei Shechadashim, which have some element of Ein Yodei in there. We don't have as many restrictions. Okay, the Gemara now says, the Pasuk also says in the same context here, V'chipir. What's that Pasuk tell me? Afapi Shelo Samach, even though he didn't do Smicha. Rashi says, who does Smicha on the Parhelim Davar? The Zakenim. The Zakenim would represent Amisa, they would do a smicha. So even though they didn't do a smicha, it's still a kasher karban. So Tos asks the question, look at Tos, the Masa v'chiper, afa pishlo samach. So what's the need for this, such a drasha? Afa gav dilo ma'akve ba'alman, smicha's never ma'akev. So why do you have to have a chiddush here that smicha's not ma'akev here either? It's never ma'akev. Hava amina de makva. Here I would have thought maybe in the context of Parham Davar it should be makiv. Why? Because the Pirishak Bekunjus Mishum de Va'asa Kashir Asa Alayu Kai. But since all these extra psukim, it says that everything by the carbon apnimi is all makiv, maybe smicha should also be makiv. Kamash Malan, that no, we learn from the Joshua that's not makiv. Okay, the word extra vechiper tells me there's more kapara. Chippers, we're expanding the ability to be mechaper. So what do we mean you're expanding it? I mean, even though the guy forgot to do his smicha, he still is going to get kapara. So then the Gemara says, last five lines of the Amud here, v'nislach, what's the word? V'nislach, tell me that they're going to achieve a slicha, apa pish lo notan shiraim. Even though they didn't do a shiraim, they're still going to get a slicha. So Gemara says, Ma'ra Isa, what do you see to think, lifsol bazos? Why do you break it up in such a way where if the hazals weren't done, it's going to disqualify the carbon hapanimi, but if you didn't do smicha, you didn't do shrine, it would be kasher? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? A very pashut distinction. Amris posel bazals shemakus b'chomakom. If the hazals are lacking, in general we know hazals are ma'akiv din, as we'll see later on, Rashi alludes to. But as opposed to machshir nib, I'm going to permit b'smicha v'shraim, because these things, shein makos b'chamakam, in general, these things are not makiv, and for that reason, they made that very basic distinction. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up tomorrow.